Thank you, Devon. Thank you, Brittany. That was powerful. I know that my life got changed at a conference about years ago, and it was awesome. So let's pray as we get into the Word this morning. We jump into part two of our series, In Tune. Father, we just ask that you would help us this morning hear your heart and align ourselves with what you're doing and what you're saying. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in the middle of the series, In Tune. If y'all didn't listen to James's message last week, definitely go back and listen to that powerful word. And we've started this series with this premise, that we, individually, are releasing a sound with our life. And then as a body, as a community of faith here at GCF Church, we're releasing a symphony into the city and into the nations. And we want to make sure we're in tune with Jesus, but we're also in tune with each other. And I remember last week as James was preaching, there was the tuning fork of my soul just vibrating like, man, this is the heart of God. And James was gentle with us. He really was. But there was also some moments in that sermon that I was a little nervous, maybe a little uncomfortable. And you know what I noticed is that uncomfortability, that discomfort, was just confirmation that I'm walking in unity, in diversity. Because if everything James says up here doesn't cross us sometimes, it's probably not very diverse, is it? Right? That's just uniformity. Right? That's not diversity. And so that was just encouraged. So thank you, James, for being delicate with us and preaching the word. It was strong and powerful. This week, we're going to talk of what I'm calling gospel formation. Now, I could call this discipleship, and I would be right in doing so. But discipleship has a lot of meanings. It has a lot of connotation. It has a lot of already knowledge in your mind. When I say that, you know what that is. So I'm calling it gospel formation this morning because I want you to maybe look at it a little bit differently. And so this morning, we're calling it gospel because we are formed in our souls by the gospel. James did a great job of leading us in communion this morning, that we are right with God, not because of what we do for him, but what he's done for us. And then it's formational because God is changing us from the inside out. And it's happening. It's think of the potter and the clay. He's forming us. And so we're going to look at a couple points this morning. And typically when we talk about, I'm going to try to get my notes right here. Here we go. Typically, when we talk about testimonies, and Brittany shared hers this morning, because of the time constraints, how many know that the two-minute version she gave us is probably not the whole story, yeah. Right? I know even in this church, we have testimonies. I was thinking about them this week. Atheist becomes cross-cultural missionary to Latin America. Like, that's true. But it's not wholly true, right? It didn't happen in a moment. Fornicator becomes Christian business entrepreneur. Adulterer becomes life group leader. Addict becomes loving father and restorer of men. I mean, just to use some biblical examples, murderer becomes church planner. Racist bigot becomes first cross-cultural apostle. Adulterer murderer becomes best Christian songwriter ever. And that's true. Everything I said was true. But it's not wholly true. It's like, that's just a snippet, but there's a bigger story at play. And this morning I want to look at that in this concept of gospel formation. Now, Peter the Rock, I love Peter because we can relate to him. And I say that, and I've heard that before, and I'm like, yeah, I get that. I mean, I'm not that obnoxious. You know, when I think of Peter, I'm like, Surely I'm not that loud and obnoxious. But what I do love about Peter is that we get a little bit more to the story. Like the Apostle Paul, we get this guy who just, there's not really much recorded that he did wrong. Like he just did, he did, but it's not recorded. But Peter's story, we get a lot. And so what we did was we went back, and after Peter got famous and became kind of nationally, internationally known, he started deleting some of his posts off his Instagram. And so we went through and we found a few of those that he deleted because, you know, once it's on the internet, it's there forever. And so this is one we found. Peter the Rock, do we have that one? I don't know if you can you see that? Jesus told me I was the devil. I was on the devil's team today. I actually think he called me Satan. Look, Kanye's up there. I knew he was safe. Look. Doubting T. Come on, baby. Here's another one we found. Peter the Rock, I was really struggling today. No fish and ready to give up. Then Jesus showed up. I feel so weak without him. Then another one, he says, Peter the Rock, I just denied my best friend. He's God's chosen one. He died because I'm a coward. A couple more. I'm all wet. I mean, drenched. Long story, but I know my faith isn't where I thought it was. Right? He did walk on water a little bit. And that's more than you, I think. But he is wet. He's wet. Peter the Rock, I cut a guy's ear off this eve. I thought the revolution was beginning, but Jesus has a different plan for change. Work in progress. And finally, Paul publicly called me out as a racist. I'm furious. He might be right. I like it. Mary Magdalene forgiven up there. How about that? But here's the reality is that here, a foul-mouthed fisherman from the backwoods of Galilee with a strong accent ends up being the leader of the mega church in Jerusalem. His first public sermon, 3,000 people get saved. That's pretty good, right? He pulls a cripple off the ground, healed. I mean, we can read the good things and forget that a lot of this happened after that. We typically have a vision of Christianity where like we were dirty and messed up, and then we got saved. And then now, like, we heal people and stuff. We don't make mistakes. But that's not the story of the Bible, one, and it's not the story of Peter. And I think it's actually a pretty decent apologetic that this scripture wasn't just ruminations of men, but divinely inspired. Because Peter is not kind of whitewashing his testimony. He said, here it all is. And so that brings us to my first point. The project of gospel formation continues throughout your life. We referenced this, and I think James referenced this even last week, Galatians 2, 11 through 14. But when Cephas, Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him, I, Paul, opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For certain men came from James, who was eating with the Gentiles, but when they showed up, he drew back and separated himself. He called him a hypocrite. I mean, this is amazing. Peter had a vision from God that the gospel was to go to the Gentiles. And he was actually doing it. Like he had the first kind of Gentile salvation moment. And within a few years, he was reverting back to his old ways. After he did all these amazing things, and Paul rebukes him. And so we see here that gospel formation continues throughout your life. Philippians 1:6, one scripture that I held on to that really helped me through some dark times of my own life. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it into the day of Christ. That he starts a work in you, and then he perfects it. It's like the great prophet Shrek said, ogres are like onions. You know, there's some layers to your life. And God just doesn't do it in a moment. He takes a lifetime to do it. And I think the application this morning is that no matter where you are, no matter what your resume looks like, whitewashed or not, God knows. And He loves you right where you are. And He's committed to transforming you into His glory. It's a work that He promises right here. He will perfect it into the day of Christ Jesus. Praise God for that. My second point this morning, gospel formation is a formation of your heart, not simply behavioral modification. I love this scripture in Galatians 4:19. Paul writing to the church at Galatians, where people were coming in trying to say, you don't just have to have faith in Jesus, you have to be circumcised too. You have to obey some of the law for God to accept you. And Paul was saying, that's not true, it's Christ alone. And he says this, he goes, my little children whom I am again in the pains or in the anguish of childbirth till Christ is formed in you. Till Christ is formed in you. I love this quote by Dallas Willard. He says, the aim of spiritual formation is not behavioral modification, but the transformation of all aspects of you and me where behavior comes from. Circumcision of the heart. The quest here is not that you would stop lying or stop lusting or stop your selfish ambition or to stop losing your temper, but to uncover the why that you're doing it. I can be on the sidelines not charging the umpire after the game, which I've done, right? Guilty. I can not do that and still have hatred in my heart. See, Christ is after my heart, not just that I look like I'm behaving. Because you can be in here, you can be a church leader, you can even preach on this stage, and your heart is far from God because you obey the rules. God's not after rule obedience, He's after heart transformation. What do we love more than God? That when presented with the right situation, we choose it over Him. That's called idolatry. That's loving something more than God. John Calvin said, man's nature, so to speak, is a perpetual factory of idols. So once we get rid of one, we'll create another. I love this quote by Rosaria Butterfield. She was a former gender studies professor and chair at Syracuse University and former lesbian activist and author, was radically converted, and this is what she said. One very difficult aspect of sin is that my sin never feels like sin to me. My sin feels like life to me, plain and simple. My heart is an idol factory, and my mind is an excuse-making factory, isn't it? See, we love first, and then we rationalize why it's okay. The reason I continue to do what I do is because I love that thing. I got a pretty decent mind. I can create a structure of mental gymnastics to justify why it's okay. And why I can continue in the path, even though Scripture's pretty clear that it hurts God and others and myself. This is why when Peter betrays Jesus, y'all know the story, I don't even know the man. He casts curses on his own head. I've never seen him before. Y'all remember the story? A couple days later when Jesus is on the shore and the disciples are back fishing. Jesus says, hey, cast nets on the other side of the boat. And they just did it to humor the guy. They couldn't see who it was. And when they pulled up the nets, they were full. And Peter, no, I've seen this before. And the Bible says he takes off his shirt and dives in and swims to Jesus. And when he gets to Jesus, Jesus takes him away and starts asking him questions. He doesn't say, look, next time you're in this situation where you're going to deny me, don't do it. Be strong. Be a man. Buck up, son. You let that little girl scare you. Right? That's not what he said. What did he say? Do you love me, Peter? Why did he say that? Because he's after the heart. And if Peter, he said, buck up, Peter could be real strong, and next time he wouldn't deny him. But his heart wouldn't love God anymore. See, his action revealed sin of the heart that needs to be confessed, that needs to be brought to a loving Savior who will wipe it clean. This is gospel formation. This is why when, let's say, theoretically, if I ever got in kind of a disagreement with my wife, which just never happens, that I know because of the nature, because of the scripture, that some of it probably lays at my feet, most of it. So when I go to her, I'm always bringing the bill. It's that moment where you two people go out to eat, and the waitress or waiter comes up, and they have one bill. They didn't ask. They just have one bill. And you're waiting, like, who's going to take it? Just like laying on the table. And you know what? I'm going to take the bill. I'm going to pay it. I'm going to apologize first. I'm going to say, will you forgive me for my attitude, the way I responded? Right, because this is gospel formation. It's seeing that the problems in the world aren't out there. And that's easy to do. That's what social media is telling you. The problems are out there. And the problems are right here. It's a continual going to the cross. That's why I loved communion this morning. It was just a running to the blood and the body and say, Lord, is there anything? It's not in line with you in here, because the reality is there is. This brings us to our third and final point. Gospel formation is a project we can either hinder or accelerate. It's intentional. Look at what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to take hold of it because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Notice here, not something we do to get accepted by God, but Christ Jesus has made me his own. He made me his. He did it. So I'm not doing this so he will like me a little bit more, so I can be a little bit more of a son. I'm doing this because he adopted me. I'm his. Already. Today. I'm his. And so I am leaning into him because he loves me. And he's wooing me after himself. And he's pointing those things that are hurting me and others. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. I'm not perfect, he said. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. How can he forget what lies behind? I've got a lot behind. A lot. My brother's here, right? So I can't fake it up here. He knows me. So is my wife. Most of you do. We've got a lot behind. How can we forget that? Because Christ paid for it. He doesn't just sweep it under the rug. This isn't like, oh, man, you're fine. You're good. No, he said, no, you're not good. You're pretty wicked. But I love you anyway, and I will die so that it will be paid for. Now I can walk with you. Now you can walk with me. And the more I walk with Jesus, the more I realize my heart is more wicked than it was I thought it was. It's kind of like the stock market, right? Sometimes there's highs, sometimes there's lows, but there is this trajectory. But then I realize the further up I go, how far there is to go. I thought, man, I'm gonna be there. I remember in college, Lord, just sanctify me. Just like deal with this issue of my heart. And then I'll be there. And God's like, no, that's the problem, I think. I'm gonna let you hold on to that for a while so that you'll realize it's way deeper than you thought it was. It wasn't this thing. There's a whole, my grandfather, he would put us to work. Well, we'd go to his house in the summer vacation. And we'd go, and I remember this evergreen tree. I don't know what kind of tree it was. The evergreen tree says, boys, we're going to cut this thing down. I'm like, okay. So we're out there, and we're not just going to cut it down, but we're going to tear it up, roots and all. And I remember he had this thing called a winch or a come along, you know, and he attached it to another huge tree. And it with this rope or this chain, and we had dug with axe and shovel about 5-foot radius around the base of this tree and cut what I thought was every living thing. And we start winching this, come along, this is a come on, we start winching this, trying to pull this stump out of the ground. Next thing I know, this huge tree is coming towards this small cut down evergreen about this big around. We are winching this thing that's alive out of the ground, and this thing not moving. I mean, literally, like 3 feet deep, every root that we could see has been chopped. Man, there was this taproot going real deep. Boy, we spent hours. We broke that come along. We had to go buy another one to do the hard work of rooting out the sin in our own heart. We thought it was small. I got this small issue. No. It's deeper than you thought. Thank you, Shrek. There are layers here, right? It's not just a little lust issue you have. It goes a lot deeper than that. It's not this little temper thing you have. It goes a lot deeper than that. Let's look at some hindrances to gospel formation. Number one is isolation. Man, I'm pretty amazing when I'm by myself. Like, I can have a good reputation, I have a good view of myself, but you put me around other people, maybe kids around the age of 11 and 8, I don't know, theoretically, and then things come out, right? Right? It's true. And then I realize, man, I'm not as patient as I thought. I'm not as loving as I thought. I need Jesus to change me. But I wouldn't know that unless I brought myself around others and allowed them into my life. Isolation is not just geographical. I mean, you can be in a dorm room over here. I was in dorm rooms for 4 years. You can be in a dorm room and be completely isolated from the world. And you get like hundreds of people living like within a stone's throw away. Because isolation is isolation of the heart. No one knows what you're dealing with. No one knows what you're struggling with. No one knows your true temptations, your thoughts. And if we don't bring that to light, if we don't let others into our orbit, we can't be spiritually formed. We can't be gospel formed. Isolation is a hindrance. The other is pride, right? I got, oh, how you doing? Man, good. Good, bro. Busy. Because that's like unanimous or anonymous with like, I'm amazing. I'm busy. I'm busy, brother. But really, I'm anxious. I'm depressed. Right? I don't want to let down my guard. Bitterness is another hindrance to gospel formation. We don't forgive others because we haven't seen how sinful we are and what God's forgiven us from. And then we wonder why the ceiling feels like a stone, like we can't get through. God said, man, if you don't forgive others, I can't forgive you. These hinder gospel formation. But you know what? The positive is there's catalyst to gospel formation. This conference, college students, is a catalyst for gospel formation. I don't know why. Just getting around other people in the presence of God, and he just starts doing stuff. Right, Zach? Right? He'll change you. Being in church community, not just showing up on Sunday, but getting in a college ministry, getting in a small group, getting in a life group. Not just coming here when it's convenient or it aligns with my busy schedule, but making it a priority to get in the presence of God, to see the gospel, to hear it preached, right? To be challenged and encouraged. Gospel formation. We've been did a whole series, if y'all missed on this, about the rule of life. Man, that'll help you grow. I mean, I've been going back to this thing, challenged by it. It wasn't just like a thing we swear, oh, that was in January. No, a rule of life, not the rule of January. Okay? And this helps us with the spiritual disciplines, and these things help us grow. These are catalysts for growth. And one that I want to highlight this morning, and there's lots of these, but this is what I want to highlight this morning, is confession. I was talking to a number of my friends. There's just been this kind of, it's in the water, man, the power of confession. Did you know Scripture says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble? I have never been more humble or humiliated than confessing my sins to a friend or my spouse or my son or my daughter. But Acts tells us that times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. There is a weight that's lifted. I've been set free. Shackles have been broken. There is a breakthrough in my soul when I bring my sin before the Lord and know that He has washed it away. As James referred to 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. Oh, I'm good. I'm good. Be careful. James 5:16 says this. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. There is a healing power that comes with confession. Right? God doesn't forgive you because you confess your sin to another. But He does heal you. He does break chains. He does something in your soul that's formational. So why don't our band come up as we close this morning? This is what I want to do is we're going to sing a song as we close, and here's my challenge. As we sing, if you're a life group leader or a prayer leader at the church and want to come up here and stand, we're going to open up the altars this morning. I remember the first time someone taught about spiritual gifts in my church growing up. I was like, oh man, this is interesting. You know, that was interesting. And then he shut the Bible about 10 minutes into a sermon. Now let's see this happen. I'm like, oh, no, we don't do stuff. We don't do the Bible. We just listen to the Bible. Like you told us the Bible, we're going to go home and think about it. No, we're going to do it. And so I want us to have a moment where we apply what we've heard. Okay? And so this is what we're going to do is during this song, right where you are, I'm going to encourage you to do business with Jesus. If there's sin in your heart that the Holy Spirit is touching, I want you to confess that to the Lord. Just confess it to Him. You and Him, nobody around, you and Him. Just confess it. Bring that to the Lord. Could be an attitude. Could be an idol. Could be a habit. You might not have depth of understanding of what the deep root is. You just know this is what it looks like every day. And you need to bring that to the Lord. So as we sing, it's right where you are, do business with the Lord. Confess it out of your mouth. Father, forgive me for I've sinned and I've sinned in this way. Be specific, right? We can't just end the day, Lord, forgive me my sins. That doesn't form the heart because it doesn't bring light to your own understanding what you're bringing before the Lord. And if you're saying, Blake, this morning, I got something I need to get off my chest. I need to just bring it into the light in front of someone else. That's why this is available. You don't have to come up. It's not mandatory. You can have business. You can have breakthrough right where you are. But some of us in here, I think, man, I need to receive some prayer. I need to confess this to another and have someone pray for me. And then we want to make that available to you this morning, okay? So can we stand? So just to recap, what we're gonna sing a song, and right where you are, you do business with Jesus.